Blog Talk Radio.
What it do, what it do, what it do, everybody. Lee and Keys by Catchy. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to recap the Izzy Pereira fight, who we think Izzy should fight next. Then he's basically cleared out the division. Pereira moves up to 205. We got Tony Ferg. Max Holloway beating Arnold Allen this weekend. What we think is next for basically Max Holloway at this point. Next up, we're gonna talk about Jake Paul, Nate Diaz, Curtis Blaydes, Pavlovich, Javonte Davis versus Ryan Garcia this weekend, and then in bare knuckle we got Mike Perry versus Luke Rockhold. We got a lot to talk about tonight. But before I do that, I got to say what's up to my co-host with the most. Keys, what's going on, man? How you doing, bro?
Yes, sir, man. Keys Real Talk tapping in at Keys Real Talk on everything. At Keys Real Talk on TikTok, too. That's relatively new. I don't know how I haven't plugged that yet. But, yeah, it's at Keys Real Talk on TikTok as well. I got some gaming clips up there, and I've been going hard with that. So definitely check that out if you're into gaming. Anyways, I'm in the building. We got like 97,000 different events to talk about between the most of them of this. Like, if you look at, I saw a picture of how many events of this weekend. There's like 12 different like going down this weekend at some point, and a lot of them on Saturday night. You're gonna have the UFC fights, the Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia card happening at pretty much the same time as that main card, and you're gonna have the Bellator card. I don't know if Sergio Pettis is defending his title on the Bellator card. I don't know if that's usually – they do Fridays, but I don't know. Either way, you have a lot there. And, of course, Holloway looked amazing. We're going to get to it. And Adesanya is a champ. We're going to get to it. So, yeah, man, I'm chilling. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm locked in.
Yeah, man, the Bellator card is April 21st, which is Friday. And the... Okay, man. I don't know what they're doing with this card, dog, but Sergio Pettis not on this one. The main event is Liz Carmouche versus Deanna Bennett. And the co-main event is Tim Johnson versus Saeed Salma. They got Sarah McCann fighting on this card. On Bellator, and that's basically all the names I know. So, yeah, I don't know about that one. But, yeah, man, let's jump into it, man. It's been a while since we talked. So let's go ahead, man. Let's jump into the Izzy knockout of Alex Pereira. What was your thoughts on that fight, man? It was building up to be a hell of a fight again, man. And then Izzy caught him, and boom, boom, lights out. Yo, what did you think about the fight, bro?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you this. Like, I was at the crib. I was at my apartment. I ordered it, watched it myself. And it was – that was a quick one, man. Adesanya said it's going to be one and done at the weigh-ins. And – he pretty much was right. It was only one full round, and then he finished them in the second round. So he more or less predicted that. And, I mean, I was definitely shocked in that moment. And Pereira, I mean, shout out to Pereira. I mean, he definitely lost me some money on some bets. But it's all good, man. We're still up on the year. We're up big on the year, so don't worry. I still got love for you, Pereira. It's all good. And he's going to go up to light heavyweight, and I think there's some interesting fights for him at light heavyweight. So that's still all well and good. That's going to be some interesting storylines and rivalries to come up there. My boy Jamal Hill's the champ, so we'll see. Adesanya, you know, I'd like to see him stay at middleweight. I do see Adesanya's coach talking about light heavyweight and his coach talking about him versus Jamal Hill, but I don't want to see that fight. Even though I think it would be – obviously that's a good fight, but I don't want to see him go to 205. I want to see him keep going at middleweight. I think – you know, for his next fight, man, I like him and Duplessis. I like that for the next one. And to clarify, yes, Duplessis has not beaten the who's who necessarily. He hasn't beaten, you know, a Cannonier. He hasn't beaten, you know, a Hermanson. He hasn't beaten, you know, a Robert Whittaker, which, you know, he ain't beaten Rob Whittaker, but that was just an example. He hasn't beaten Marvin Vittoria in any of the real top 185ers, but he did beat Blond Brunson, which I was surprised by, but Blond Brunson looked, you know, he didn't look, he looked pretty bad in that fight, but hey, win's a win. And he beat Darren Till, who is obviously washed. And basically both of them, you know, you could argue both of them aren't really, they're both way past their prime, you know, and but he's the only guy there. So I think you have to do Adesanya and Duplessis next.
I don't like Duplessis getting the next title shot. I just don't think he's beat anybody. I think it's going to be a bang of a fight, man. I think they're going to get Khamzat Chimaev out on Israel Adesanya, man. I think that's going to be the next fight they make at middleweight, being that we already know that Chimaev already has a problem making welterweight. So I think the next fight is going to be Khamzat Chimaev versus Israel Adesanya, man. A banger of a fight if they get it done. I don't see Israel moving up to 205. When we saw him fight at 205, he just didn't look right at 205, although it was against Jan Blachowicz. But if you look at the other guys at 205, you got Jamal Hill, who I think would turn him up in the striking game. I think Yuri would handle him because of his height and his reach advantage. I just think middleweight is where Israel should stay at, unless his body starts telling him 205 is better for him. But right now, that double champ thing, I don't think he has it. I don't think he got what it takes to beat Jamal Hill. Me and you both know that Jamal Hill is a monster, man, and his striking is so top-notch. I don't think Israel will be able to get off his counterpunch game against a Jamal Hill. But Israel showed why he's a champion, man, because, oh, my God, he ate that flying knee to the chin. He staggered him. He put his back against the cage. Pereira came forward. Boom, boom. Izzy caught him, man, and it was lights out. But, hey, that fight was about to be a banger if Izzy didn't catch him. I thought Pereira was going to do the same thing as far as, like, walking him down and making Israel fight. But great win by Israel. I think Pereira, 205 is where he should be at. Making middleweight, I don't think he was going to be able to do that much longer. But on that same card, we got my wish. I don't know whether or not it was Key's wish, but we did our predictions. I said, I wanted Gilbert Burns to retire Jorge Masvidal, and Gilbert Burns retire Jorge Masvidal. Jorge Masvidal is just a guy that got lucky. I want to say he beat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, and then he came up with this DMF thing with Nate Diaz, and the referee stopped the fight, and he was awarded the fight. Although he was piecing Nate up, I just think the refs should have gave Nate, you know, more time to go. But it just shows, man, he was at the right place at the right time. And I can't forget about the flying knee to Ben Askren. So, you know, he was just at the right place at the right time, strung together some wins, and, you know, got to fight for the belt twice. But ain't nothing special about Jorge Masvidal, man. How did you feel about Gilbert Burns versus Masvidal?
To be honest with you, I don't even remember that fight. I'm not really sure, like, what happened. I mean, I really looking back, I was definitely sipping during the fight, and I think by that point, what was that, the co-main event? For some reason, I don't really remember that fight. Maybe I wasn't even paying attention to it, but, yeah, I couldn't really tell you what happened. It was pretty much just news. I just figured Burns was going to roll him. And it seems like that's pretty much what happened. I don't care for Jorge Masvidal. The dude is just a total jerk. So it is what it was. And what was the other thing? The thing that I wanted to ask you is that you were saying that Duplessis hasn't fought anybody, but who has Chimaev fought at 185?
He hasn't fought anybody, but you know how the UFC feels about it.
He hasn't fought anybody, man. I said, what?
Except Gilbert Burns. But you know how the UFC feels about him.
Yeah, but that was at welterweight, though. He's a welterweight.
Yeah, but the UFC loves the guy.
180 versus Kevin Holland, and Kevin Holland's like a welterweight, too. I get what you're saying. I'm down for the fight. I'm just pointing out that, I mean, if we're going to really look at it, Duplessis has done more at 185 than Chimaev has.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue that point, but when I look at it, I just think the UFC is going to – they want to see Chimaev in a championship fight, man, and they know he ain't going to – that he's not going to make welterweight. So,
I mean, that's,
the next
I'm down for both fights. I'm just saying, I'm down for both of those fights, either one. I would be excited about either one because, like, Adesanya and Duplessis been talking trash back and forth, and I kind of want to see Adesanya roll that dude and just humble him because, you know, I was saying that early on when he came in the UFC. I was like, man, a great – not even a great, just a high – I wouldn't even say great. I'll just say a high-level striker is going to cut this dude up bad, and I don't think he's fought that yet. I mean, Darren Till – we can't call him a high-level – he was a high-level striker at one point, I think, but we can't call him that – not this current Darren Till. So, yeah, he hasn't faced that yet, and I just feel like a guy like Adesanya would really embarrass Duplessis but and get rid of that O that he has. But, you know, and Chimaev is probably – you know, that one's exciting too because Chimaev has just looked good overall regardless of what weight. And actually, Chimaev does have wins at middleweight. I'm forgetting. He – I think he fought Gerald Meerschaert at 185, which that's not a, you know, so he does have wins at 185, I'm pretty sure. He has one or two wins at 185. I think I'm mistaken on that. He does have, but he just doesn't have, they're just like smaller name guys, you know, like that Gerald Meerschaert, I think that was 185, and I'm pretty sure that was like the highest, like that was when he went back to 170. That was really as far as he got there, and then he went back to 170, so. Like I said, either way, I'm down. I'm down for both fights. They're both exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Meerschaert fight now to see what. Yeah, it was at middleweight. Yep. Yeah, he fought him at middleweight. So, but man, but you know how the UFC operate, man. I don't think they look at Duplessis the same way you do. Although, you know, the guy, actually, he's really next up in the rankings, next up for a title shot when you look at it, because Israel beat Robert Whittaker, he beat Vettori, he beat Cannonier, he beat Costa. So the next person up is Duplessis, Sean Strickland, he beat Derek Brunson, Kevin Gastelum gave a good fight, but he's number 11. So, yeah, man, if I'm going to say I think they go with Khamzat. I'm going to say they probably fight on the last card of 2023. And I think that's going to be a banger of a fight, man. But we got to talk about this, bro. I'm going to let you talk about this because you've been beating this horse for about a week. The news came out that Charles Oliveira is out of the fight versus Bonil. My man Keith had a good fix. Armand. I can't say his last name, but everybody knows who he is when I say his first name, Armand. His opponent dropped out. Bonil said he wouldn't mind fighting Armand, but the UFC hasn't announced the fight or said they're going to make that fight. Keys, tell the people why the UFC should make this fight, bro.
I just think, I mean, I've been saying for a minute, I think we should just be the matchmakers, to be honest. I mean, I think we would just – you would have such good business happening if we were the matchmakers. Like, honestly, how many times have we put together fights and like, way before they were even thought of, you know? How many times have you said, like, yo, I think this will probably be – or, like, I think this could be a really good one, or I'd like to see these two, or I think eventually we'll have this guy fight for the belt. And then it happens, and then we're like, wow, that was crazy, you know? And it was, so Armin Saryukin, I think they, the reason why I think they should do Beneil Dariush, because I've entertained the idea of them doing Beneil and Poirier and Beneil and Armin Saryukin, and I think that one is the one I would want to see is Beneil and Armin Saryukin. I like that. And the reason why I think they should do it is because that's one of those fights where you might have – that's one of those fights like that we talk about in concept. You know, we say, you know, how about these guys that, like, you know, lower top 15 getting the shots at the top five guys, like, you know, those type of matchups where you don't really know. It kind of has that wonder factor to it where it's like, damn, like, I don't really know how this will go because it's not really – because you just don't – you don't get to see it a lot. You don't get to see, like – you know, the number two guy, like, is the number two guy usually isn't going to, most times, like, feels like I'm not going to fight the number 11 guy, and he doesn't have to. Like, I support that. But at the same time, it's if we were getting those matchups, what would it look like? And you really don't know until you make a fight like Beneil Dariush versus Armin Saryukin, you know? And I think that is that's one of those fights. I think Armin's probably like number eight. He's probably like between 7 and 9 ranked, I want to guess.
He's number 8.
He's number eight, bro. How did I know? Man, how did I know his rank like that? I said he's between 7 and 9. And I don't know which number I just said first right there. I don't know if you caught it, but I definitely said he's between number 7 and 9. And that's crazy.
Well,
so
eight is between 7 and 9.
There was some number I said first. I don't remember. I'll have to go back because Yeah, between 7 and 9, but I said I think he's like number something. I'm gonna go to the playback and figure out what I said. I might have just called that exactly. So, anyways, yeah. So that's like one of those ones where it's like Beneil Dariush is. I want to say Charles Oliveira is probably the number one because he was just the champ.
Yep.
And then number two, I would think Beneil Dariush would be the number two.
Nope, Dustin Poirier.
Poirier is number two. All right, so Dariush got to be three then. He got to be three.
He's four.
Are you kidding me? What's number three?
Gaethje.
Oh, my God. So the whole loser's row is the whole loser's row. Come on. And this is, you know, I'm excluding Oliveira in that. I'm saying Poirier and Gaethje are above. Dariush is on like a 10-fight win streak, and they've both been losing. They both are 0-2. Poirier and Gaethje are 0-4. Combined fighting for the lightweight title. They're 0-4, and they're somehow both above Dariush, who hasn't fought for the title yet, which he should be fighting, and is like on a 10-fight win. The guy hasn't lost since like 2015 or something. How the hell does that work, man? That's crazy.
He just
got back in the win column, you know?
Yep.
That's crazy. Anyways.
And then they have him sandwiched. They have him sandwiched between Gaethje and Chandler. It's like the ranking should be like me and Keys are saying. Oliveira 1, Beneil 2, and then you can do whatever you want with the rest of the top 10. But there's no way Beneil Dariush should be number 4. I mean, if worst came to worst, there's an argument that he should be number 1 because of how bad Islam beat Charles Oliveira. So, man, man, this rankings, man. Nah, man, I'm not feeling this rankings right here, dog.
Yeah, that well, because the thing is that all those guys lost, and Chandler fought one time. No, wait. Chandler only fought one time, and Oliveira beat him, and that was the non-title fight. So he didn't really get to, like, fight a lightweight champion, but he just fought for the belt. But still, if you put those three guys together, they're 0-5 fighting for the lightweight title. So it's just like, you know, they just beat a dead horse with that. I mean, obviously they're fun guys to watch. I'm not down in that. I'm a fan of all of them, but you know, you as far as rankings there, you should be probably number one, if not number two, and then the rest of those guys can find a place somewhere. But regardless of it, I just think Dariush and Armin Saryukin just gives you that wonder factor and like, what if this is one of those moments where a guy like Armin Saryukin can just have his moment of greatness, you know, and just really show and just fly up, you know, like that could be like a breakout fight for him, you know, and you just don't know it. I'm not saying that he would win. I'm just saying that he could win. And I think either one of those guys could beat each other. And because that's just how good, you know, lightweight division is. It's like everyone can beat everyone, but will it happen? You know, that's really the question. And yeah, I just think you could have a flash, you know, see Armin Tsarukyan might have, that may be his breakout fight. He say, wow, like he's actually way better than we thought he was. Imagine that. He just, you know, put on a master class for Beneil Dariush. Now he flies up. Armin Tsarukyan's right there. So, you know, or you could have Beneil Dariush have a moment of, no, I wouldn't say a moment of greatness there, because it's like you feel like he's supposed to beat Armin Tsarukyan, but he would cement himself. You know what I mean? It would either be, okay, Beneil Dariush reminds us why he's that guy. Now we're having him fight for the title, you know, definitely. Or is Armin Tsarukyan going to have a breakthrough fight and have his moment of greatness? And we're going to say, wow, that dude's actually way better than we thought he was. Like this kid, he might really be that dude, you know? And I think that's why you make that fight.
And to be honest, I feel where you're coming from. I really, really do feel you coming from. But when I look at Beneil Dariush Keys, if I'm him, I wait for Charles Oliveira, man. The UFC basically do not want to give him a title shot. The guy is on, like, an unbelievable win streak. Although when you look at some of the names he beat, I mean, some of the names aren't really, like, names. Thiago Moises. I mean, he did beat Drew Dober. Tony Ferguson, Gamrot. But some of these other names, Diego Ferreira was a guy that the UFC had high hopes of, but, you know, he's seen the fall to the wayside. Some of the other names, you know, Frank Camacho, Jakar Close, Scott Holtzman, you know, some of these guys. But when you look at his losses, you know, Edson Barboza, Michael Chiesa, Alexander Hernandez, he has lost to some of the better fighters, you know, in that division. But if I'm him, the UFC already disrespected me. I'm waiting on Charles Oliveira, man. I'm not taking a chance of losing to the number 8 guy. I would rather lose to the number 1 guy than possibly lose it to the number 8 guy. If he beats Charles Oliveira, there's no denying him a title shot. And I think the way that I know Beneil wants to fight, because he did go on Instagram, he did go on Twitter. I want to say you retweeted it at me saying that he wanted to fight Armin, and he told the UFC he wanted to fight Armin, and the UFC basically twiddling their thumbs on it. But if I was advising him, man, I'd be like, hey, I know you want to get in there and fight, but Charles Oliveira is the fight that you need to have if you want to get a title shot. You have more to lose against Armin than you do the game. So I know as UFC fans, you know, mixed martial arts fans, we want to see the guys get in there and compete. But at the same time, you know, it's all about winning titles. And I think Beneil is in a better position for a title fight if he just waits to fight Dubronx. But if he does fight Armin, I have no problem with that. I think it'll be a banger of a fight. But I think going into that fight, I think Armin would be the more hungrier fighter. Because he looks at it like, okay, this guy's on the 10-fight win streak. He's number 4 ranked on number 8. If I beat him, we probably can switch spots, and I'm probably one fight away from fighting for the belt. So I get it. I get where you're coming from, and I wouldn't complain if that fight was made. So if that fight is made, it's going to be a hell of a fight, bro. But if I was Beneil and I was advising him, I'd be like, nah, man, we're going to wait on Charles Oliveira.
And the good thing is that's what they're planning. I'm seeing that it's actually working out for me, because I've heard that they're pushing it to the June 10th card, bro. That's what I'm hearing.
For your birthday?
for my birthday, man.
You know what? It's funny how every year around your birthday, the UFC tends to have like a banger card just for your birthday.
It's crazy, right?
We're going to have to go back and look at the, since we've been doing this show, we're going to have to go back and look at all the fights around your birthday, and we're going to have to rank which fight card, since we've been doing this show, has been the best fight card they have put on for Key's birthday.
I'm gonna look this up, man, and we're going to get it. I'm going to have everything. I know this, is that at least off the top of my head, before I get all the answers, I can tell you this. I know that Whitaker Romero, I think, I want to say Whitaker Romero 1 and Whitaker Romero 2 both happened in either June, July of like back-to-back years. I'm pretty sure those are both true. And then another one was Adesanya Vittori 2 happened about almost 2 years ago now. That was June. That was the main event for my birthday card in 2021. I don't remember what June 2022's card was, but I'm sure I watched it. I'm gonna go back and look, and we're gonna have to see, because a lot of these fights that they plan, Dana White, man, he holds me down, man. He holds me down. He knows I deserve a good card for my birthday. Dana, I appreciate that. You know, I put in the work. I'm watching every pay-per-view, man. You know, we're avid fans, and you know, he holds the boy Keys down, and it's always appreciated.
All right, man. So one of our favorite fighters fought this past weekend, Max Bless Holloway, once again put on a striking display against Arnold Allen. You know, but it's kind of sort of like right now we know Max is not going to get another title shot against Volkanovski. Volkanovski is fighting Yair Rodriguez, and then he may move up to lightweight. The thing is he's right now, Max Holloway is just in a position, bro, that, all right, I'm gonna tell you everybody in the top 10 in this division. Yair Rodriguez, Max B. Brian Ortega, Max B. Arnold Allen, Max B. I don't think he fought Josh Emmett. Calvin Kattar, he beat. And then you have Korean Zombie, Jigga, and Tapora. Keys, you normally know what to do in situations like this. But I think even this has you stumped. What is the UFC going to do with Max Holloway in this division, bro, at featherweight? What are they going to do with him at featherweight? What can they do?
Oh, man, this is a tough situation. And I just want to say shout out to Max Holloway. He's actually a friend of Wicked Good Gaming, my brother's gaming podcast and gaming company. And he's actually there. They have a pretty good, you know, they're like pretty connected with Max Holloway. Like when they posted, you know, that on that fight night when I, you know, let my brother know that, and he posted that, and Max Holloway was responding to this stuff, and it's pretty crazy. So, yeah, Max Holloway shows love for sure, and man, we got to get him on our show one day for real. You know, no turn on stones, man. You know, that's how we got to move, and that's one of his famous quotes. And yeah, but Max Holloway put on a masterclass, bro, versus Arnold Allen. He looks incredible, and what I think you would have to do is, I think that you got to separate him and Volkanovski, man. I think that's my answer. I think you got to get them in different divisions, bro. I think you need to either have, because Max already beat most of these guys. Like now he's calling out the Korean Zombie, which I don't like that fight because I feel like, I mean, I like any Max Holloway fight. I shouldn't say that, but like, I don't really like it for the Korean Zombie because I just feel like Max is in still such a good place. Like, he's still so good, and he's still so young. You know what I mean? It's so crazy. Max always, like, maybe still even, like, he might even still be getting better, bro. I don't even know if he's, it's hard to say, man. I don't know. I don't know. He might still be getting better, especially after that one we just watched. And, yeah, versus Zombie, where I feel like, I just think, yeah, he'll cut up the Korean Zombie, man. It'll just be a bad, and I know Korean Zombie, I'd heard rumblings of, you know, him retiring and stuff, and man, I don't know, man. I feel bad for the Zombie, man, doing that fight. Max is just, he's gonna beat that dude. He's gonna beat him up, man. But either way, I think you gotta separate them. You gotta get either Max up to 55, Max up to 155, and keep building his legacy at 145, or you have Volk get up to 155 and he can start anew there, since he's already wanting to fight Islam again and he wants to get up there. You have that, and then let Max, you know, keep doing his thing at 145, and in which case we're, you know, highly likely to see Max as the champ again. And then you have both of them as the champ, and then Max goes on a second title run, you know what I'm saying? And then Volk can try to make his title run at 50. But I think that's the answer, bro. I think that's how you got to do it, because you can't, like, what are we going to watch him fight for a fourth time? It's like, come on, bro. Like, we don't need to. We just did that with Figueiredo and Brandon Moreno. We don't need to see guys fight for a fourth time, bro. That's too much. So I think you got to get them separated, man. Whichever, who got to go wherever, man, you got to make it happen and just get them in separate rooms, man. That's the answer.
I look at it like this. We say Max fight Poirier at 155, and he basically got destroyed. We say Volkanovski fight Islam at 155, and a lot of people feel Islam won the fight. I think Islam should move up, and Max should stay down. But at the same time, we know Max can only do this weight class for so long before his body forces him to move up. So, me personally, this is a tough one, man. And when you posed the question on Twitter about the UFC, I don't think you posed a question. I think you made a statement that the UFC needs to separate Volkanovski and Max Holloway. It's just that I look at Max, and I see Volkanovski doing better at lightweight than I see Max doing at lightweight. What I would do, personally, I'm going for Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett is number 5. I would probably have Max fight Josh Emmett, not Korean Zombie, because I just think Zombie is, we saw what Volkanovski did to Zombie, and I think Max would probably do worse because his striking is, I think, a little bit, his output in striking is a little bit better than Volkanovski, although he can't beat him. I would rather see Max Holloway fight Josh Emmett, man. Another guy that's another banger. Although Josh Emmett didn't look too good against Yair Rodriguez. But, man, he just in a tough spot, Keys, because, you know, would I want to see Max Holloway and Giga? Probably not. Would I want to see Holloway versus Topuria? Probably not. Bryce Mitchell? Probably not. It's a name on this list that jumps out. And I'm going to throw this at you, and you probably say, Lee, you crazy. Another guy that's a veteran. Edson Barboza, man. Two veterans. Two guys that have been through the ranks. Two guys that have fought top-notch competition. But the thing is there's so much space between them in the rankings. I don't see Holloway fighting Edson Barboza, although I think that would be a good-ass fight, bro. But Barboza is ranked number 14.
Yeah, I mean, and Barboza just had a big knockout win, too. Didn't Barboza just knock out, who did he fight? Barboza just kicked somebody into the shadow realm. I forget who it was. Man, who did you just fight the other day, man?
I'm looking it up now, man. I'm looking it up now. I just saw it.
Fox back, man. He looked crazy. I'm trying to think of who did he do that to, man?
He beat like some dude named Billy Quarantillo. I don't even know this guy.
Oh, yeah. Billy Quarantillo, yes. That's another guy in the 145 that's, you know, been on the come up for a little bit. I've watched a good handful of his fights. He's pretty tall, but yeah, Barboza, man, he sent him packing, bro. That was crazy. And it's wild because Barboza was actually a pretty big underdog in that fight. I think he was like at least a 2-point underdog when I was looking at the odds on DraftKings and DraftKings Sportsbook. Shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook. And yeah, when I was looking at the odds, I think he was at least a 2-point underdog to Quarantillo, and then he just goes in there and just destroys him, bro. I'm like, oh my god, bro, Barboza is crazy. And then somebody posted a video of a clip from Barboza versus Khabib years ago, and they're like, yo, look at all these kicks that Barboza was throwing at Khabib, and Khabib was just like ducking them and like basically like defending the kicks, and it just, he was unfazed, just like walking Barboza down. I'm like, damn, bro, he might have just been, I don't know, man, that's crazy. But because when you compare it to Barboza just destroying somebody with, you know, some of his signature work, you know, some of his signature moves, it's like, oh my god, like there's really levels to this game that we just, it's hard for us to really interpret the levels until you compare fights and you're like, wow, like how do you do that to him? Then this guy couldn't do anything versus him, but then this guy fought him and he just looked so good. And it's like, it's just crazy, man. Like, it's like I was saying before, every fight is a different fight. And I still want to do that show just on that topic. I want to talk about how every fight is really, like every individual fight, every two guys that fight is a completely different fight. Like, to really compare, like, you know, he's going to use his wrestling and this is going to happen and he can't do that. It's like, that stuff is really out the window, because when you really look at it, it comes down to, every fight is a brand new fight. You know, you really can't like do all that. You know, the MMA math, it really doesn't work, because it's like when you have a guy like Jamal Hill just do what he did to Glover Teixeira a couple months ago. It's like, I mean, I know Glover Teixeira is, you know, up there and he's like 43, 40, but it's just still though. It's like if you look at the styles, like that just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like Glover's, you know, wrestling and grappling level versus Jamal Hill's style of fight and where his one loss was at was versus Paul Craig, is like you would just think that would be a bad matchup for Jamal Hill, but Jamal Hill just destroyed Glover, man. Oh my god. And it's like, and a big part of it was, I'm pretty sure he was doing great with his takedown. I'm pretty sure, because I didn't see the fight, but I think I just read the stats over, and I'm pretty sure he was doing a great job of stuffing Glover's takedown. So that was the big reason. But it's hard to see that. You know, it's hard to know, like, how each guy is going to respond. But, yeah, I kind of brought us off track. My bad. Anyways, yeah, Holloway and Barboza would be a sick fight, man. I mean, I think Barboza's got to be going up in the rankings, too. You know, he's got to be getting up there now after that win. Hey, I do like that fight. And even though it's not super likely, I do like that fight, though.
I like that fight more than I like Korean Zombie. But I think Ben and Max called Zombie out. I think the UFC is more prone to get him that fight, Ben, that he called him out. Max saying that, yo, me and this guy been in the same division for, you know, since we both started out, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, what I saw from Korean Zombie against Volkanovski, I just see it being worse against Max. But I got another one for you, Keys. Let me see. We got about 20 minutes. This is one, Keys, that I know you live in Boston, bro. But I would need you to go to this fight. They're talking about John Jones versus Stipe Miocic, MSG. Give me your thoughts on that fight, bro. And would you be in the house?
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, John Jones. Oh, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's really crazy, bro. So, because I knew that they were speculating about MSG, but I didn't know if it was because I haven't seen that I haven't seen anything officially announced, even saying that that's the fight. I mean, I know that's the fight. I think we all know that's the fight, but it's just as far as officially, we haven't gotten anything. Like, we haven't gotten a poster. We haven't gotten you know, Dana White saying like, "Yo, we're working on finalizing that fight." Like, you don't see, you know, Ariel Helwani giving any reports. Like, you don't see anything, and it's just crazy because, you know, I was thinking about this when I was in the shower, no lie, and like, I was like, "Yo, it's so crazy how those dudes should be in fight camp now." Like, if you're fighting an international fight week, that's less than 3 months away. Like, that's a little more. That's like 2 months and change away. You know, we're going into May. You know what I'm saying? And we're going into May, I think, next week. And it's like, yo, that's a little over 2 months away. Like, that's not far. So if you're gonna fight in July, like, you're in fight camp now. You get what I'm saying? I would think.
Yeah.
Especially for a fight of that caliber. If you're John Jones, you're Stipe Miocic, and y'all fighting in July, I 100% expect, 1,000% expect that you're training as we speak for that fight. You know what I'm saying? 100%. You are on the diet. You are, you know, maybe even adjusting your weight. You're getting down in weight or up in weight, whatever they're trying to do. They're making adjustments, and they're doing their training and making their rounds, like, 1,000%. So that's why I'm thinking, like, I love the idea of it in MSG, man. I think that would be sick. And would I be in the building? I would have to look at the prices. I don't know what they're going to be, because that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a big card. You know, if they're going to do that, that's probably going to be, you know, I would, depending on the prices, if we could get something reasonable, I'm going to have to be in the building. Yes. You know what I mean? If we could get something reasonable, I'm going to have to be there. But yeah, it comes down to that. I think that there would be a very high chance of me being in the building for that card, man, because that would be too crazy. The last time I was at a fight was in 2018, man. It's been 5 years almost since I went to UFC 220. So, and it's funny because Stipe headlined that card too. Stipe headlined that card. So it would be another, you know, my next trip back out would be Stipe headlining another card. So, but you have John Jones on it too, and I'm sure you would have a gang of other, you know, crazy fights that they're gonna put with that. So, yeah, man, very high chance I'd be in the building, as long as the prices aren't like, you know, ain't like the Taylor Swift concert. You know what I mean? As long as I don't gotta take out a loan to get to the fight, man. As long as I don't gotta, like, you know, pay used car prices or something to get in there, like, then it's a high chance, man. It's a high chance.
It's funny, bro, because one thing about the UFC events, I'd have been to quite a few. Basically, depending on what section you sit in, normally the price ranges from the floor to the next level to the next level to the next level. Normally, no matter where you sit at around that next level, normally the tickets are around about the same cost. Like when I went to go see John Jones versus Rampage, we sat third level, and those tickets was probably about $88. When I went to go see Yair versus Zombie, is that the one where he, I think Zombie, yeah, I think it was Yair versus Zombie. That's the one where he knocked him out with like 2 seconds left. We sat like second level. And I think we paid like $120. When I went to go see Cowboy Cerrone versus Masvidal. Was it Masvidal? Damn.
Yeah.
It was Cowboy Cerrone, but he ended up getting knocked out.
I remember.
But
yeah,
I think
it was. It was Cowboy and Jorge, yeah. I remember when we did the show after that.
Yeah, I sat like mid-level. I want to say we sat like third row, section 3, and we could look straight down into the octagon. I want to say we paid like $125. So normally it just depends on what level you're on for the tickets. They one thing about the UFC, they don't try to price gouge their fans. They want as many people to come enjoy a UFC event because, man, when the UFC come to town, bro, you get, man, I mean, just walking, just if you come to the arena early, you see so many fighters walking around, you get so many autographs, so many pictures, stuff like that. Man, it's just a great experience. But I'm looking at an article, April 16, 2023 on ESPN, UFC hopeful Madison Square Garden can house Jones and Miocic bouts. Dana White says, that's where we like to do it, MSG. John Jones is from upstate New York. Stipe is from Ohio. So basically they both got, you know, pack it up with just their fan bases alone. So, hey, man. Originally, it was supposed to have been in fight week for UFC 290, but Dana said those plans fell through. But I think this fight, being an MSG, that's the perfect place for this fight. You got the all-time greatest light heavyweight champion going against the all-time greatest heavyweight champion. Hey, there's no bigger stage than this fight in Madison Square Garden. But this weekend, Keys, we got something that you want to talk about, and I want to talk about it too. Mike Perry versus Luke Rockhold, bare knuckle. Keys, bro, please explain to me why this fight is happening in bare knuckle.
So, like I always say, go check out our Twitter. We got the sound bites. I like to live tweet them while we're going. You get some of the best quotes from my show in case you missed it. You get to, you know, see some of the ideas that we had, some of the takes we had. But, yeah, this fight, I have no idea.
Hey, bro, before you answer, man, you are the bomb diggity for that. Because I go back and I'd be like, damn, what King's doing shorthand doing the show? This guy is amazing. I mean, you be word for word amazing, man. But, hey, man, shouts out, man, to my man Keys, man, for doing that, man. I love it, bro. Thank you.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you. Thank you so much. I kind of got a little bit of the background, you know. I come from transcripting things and, you know, in the journalism world, and obviously typing and writing a lot. So, and I also listen. I do pretty well. I try to put it together, and yeah, like you said, I try to just live, you know, in real time, just take the things down, just jot them down, and get those out there so people can see, you know, the takes. But this fight. Thank you for that. This fight is. I have no idea why this fight is happening. Especially like this particular fight, I get why Mike Perry is fighting bare knuckle. He's pretty much like bare knuckle's stock. He's like pretty much their guy at this point. You know, I feel like to me, he's almost like Dan McGregor and bare knuckle. I wouldn't say like on the level of that stardom. That's not what I'm saying, but just more so like that's their guy to say like, okay, we want him versus this guy. Like that's their name. You know what I mean? That's their headliner. And Luke Rockhold, I don't know. I feel like Luke Rockhold is just he was done, and then like I don't know if he like officially. I don't know if he officially retired, which is funny because Chael Sonnen. I was watching Chael Sonnen's YouTube video the other day while I was eating, and he was talking about how guys don't officially retire. They don't say the word retire. I guess that's like a legal thing. Like if you don't actually say that you're retiring word for word, like you can, you know, you kind of. I guess there's like legal. Obligations that come with whether you actually said it or you didn't say it. So, yeah, he was talking about Luke Rockhold kind of having left himself open and to other things, and then Luke Rockhold goes over for bare knuckle. He's going to fight Mike Perry. I kind of feel like he's going to be a sacrificial lamb because Mike Perry is obviously well-versed in that game. He's had, you know, a whole bunch of bare-knuckle fights at this point. And Luke Rockhold's, I want to say, at least a couple of years older than him as well. And it's hard to say, like, who's more weathered, you know. I mean, that's kind of – they both have been in some pretty crazy fights, some wars. And but I do think Rockhold might be a sacrificial lamb, man. I don't know if he's – because if you're doing bare-knuckle and you're going in there, Mike Perry is beating – he's beaten a bunch of guys in bare knuckle, and it seems to be where he thrives at. And you're going to be Luke Rockhold coming in there. And Luke Rockhold has also been a chinny guy in the UFC. You know, we've seen him get KO'd a few times, you know, and Mike Perry also likes to knock guys out, you know. So that's Mike Perry's been a knockout artist a lot of his career, and Luke Rockhold has some knockouts but has also gotten knocked out quite a few times. And in the recent past. So I think he might be a sacrificial lamb in there, man. What you think?
Let's just go back to this. Lou Rocco has gotten his jaw broken 3 times in the UFC. And it's 3 out of his last 4 fights, I want to say, he got his jaw broken. And that's in the UFC with 4-ounce gloves. Now you're going to put him in a space where you don't even have the gloves to protect you. I just think this is a bad idea. Luke Rockhold is in it for the money to me. Mike Perry, like you said, is thriving in this. I think this is more his speed than the UFC ever was. Luke Rockhold, man, I'm just hoping, bro, that you know, the money was worth it, because you are going to take a beating in this fight. Hopefully your jaw can stand up without you having it broken again, but I doubt it. Luke Rockhold, man, look, Leon Keyes is fans. Sometimes you got to know when to hang the gloves up. You, as a fighter, need to know when to hang the gloves up. Not the sport has to hang the gloves up for you. I think after this fight, the sport will hang the gloves up for you. It's just crazy to me that he would even venture into this, man, knowing that the way his last couple fights in the UFC were, man. And then you go into an organization where there is less protection. You can't knee, you can't kick. And then at the weigh-in, he's going to throw like a fake knee or a fake kick at Mike Perry. And Mike Perry, like, waved his finger at him saying, that's not allowed. So, man, this is just, I think it's a money grab for Lou Rockhold. I hope the money is enough. But sometimes, man, you got to put your personal health and safety first. And I don't think Lou Rockhold is doing that. And you know what, man, I'm just praying for his safety and his health. But it is what it is, man. Sometimes the sport has to humble you into retirement, and I think the sport will humble him into retirement. It is what it is, man. I hate to sound so down and somber about it, but we've seen too many guys get taken out on their shield because they didn't know when to hang it up. Chris Layden, Frankie Edgar, Chuck Liddell. We can go on and on and on, man. Guys that just didn't know when to hang it up. And I think Lou Rockhold is going to be the next guy that the sport is going to force him to retire, not him telling the sport that he's retired. And it's just sad, bro.
Yeah, so hopefully it's not too bad. Hopefully we don't have to see Luke Rockhold get KO'd, man. That's one of those guys that when I was like really getting into the UFC, he was like one of the fights that I didn't see. So when I was getting back into the UFC, I had just watched UFC 200, and I was at a family party. My cousin was like, you know, we're talking about UFC, and she was like, oh yeah, you know, you have. She was talking. Oh, this was after. She was talking about the Rockhold and Bisping fight. This was after, I want to say. But The one that I – one of the fights that I had watched when I was really getting into the UFC was Chris Weidman was the champ when I had – when I was coming in. And it was Chris Weidman versus Luke Rockhold. And the way I saw – I had no idea who either one of them were, you know, threw a hole in the wall. I had no idea. But the way I saw Luke Rockhold take out Weidman, I was like, oh, my God. And when he won the belt, I was like, damn. Like, so I was a fan right there. And, yeah, so that was one of the guys that when I was coming in, I was one of the first guys I became a fan of when I was getting into the UFC. So I would like to see it not be, you know, not be too bad. Maybe they can just fight to a decision and they can both make money and we can move on. And hopefully, you know, he doesn't get KO'd. And if he wants to retire after that fight or, you know, then hopefully he can just make some money and not get, like I said, hopefully it's not nothing brutal, you know what I mean? They can just go about it that way. But, hey, either way, it is what it is. You go in there and, you know, may the best man win, I guess. The one that I want to ask you about before we finish up is we got to talk about boxing, man. You got to let the people know, man. Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia is finally going down. They've been trying to get this fight going for a long time, for years and years, I want to say. And this is one of those ones when we talk about the sport of boxing and, you know, we talk about the sport of boxing and you say, you know, boxing is pretty much dead because, you know, the best guys don't want to fight the best guys. They end up fighting, you know, these other no-name guys and they avoid the other, you know, the dudes that are at the top with them, that are at the very top with them. They kind of avoid each other and it's contracts and sponsors and, you know, the 70-30 split and this wasn't right and we wanted that and then it doesn't. But then, so this is one of those fights that, to my understanding, it is, this is one of the ones that, okay, it's setting that in the reverse. It's kind of bringing it back. It's like, okay, this is one of those fights, you know, one of the best guys out there in around that weight class or those couple weight classes versus one of the other best, and they both won titles, to my understanding, and they're finally going to fight. So tell the people, man, you're the boxing guy. Tank fight before. I think he's a beast. I'm a fan of him. Ryan Garcia, I don't think I've watched him fight before, but I've seen, you know, his hand speed. The dude is seems like he seems like a problem. So tell the people, man, what are your thoughts on this fight?
Keys, I'm going to be brutally honest, man. This fight should be one-sided. Tank Davis should dominate Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia, only thing he really has in his repertoire is a left hook, and that's it. I don't think Ryan Garcia really has that much of a chin, although he's very skilled. He's a very skilled fighter. I can't take that from him. But Tank, if you are that guy that you say you are, and you are clamoring for the fights that you say that you want to fight Devin Haney, Shakur Stevenson, Lomachenko, then you should go in there and you should put on a display against Ryan Garcia. Now, will that happen? I don't know. Should it happen? Yes. I say Tank wins this fight. I say Tank should dominate this fight. Now, do I think Tank going to dominate the fight? I'm going to say no. I think he's going to come in, and probably the first couple rounds, he's going to be filling Ryan out. At the same time, Ryan going to be filling him out. And I think we get a good fight between the third and the sixth round. And I think Tank should get him out of there between the seventh and the eighth round. Now, if it go past that means Ryan Garcia has found something in Tank's game that he can exploit and that he's going to take advantage of. But I'm going to say Tank wins this fight. If it does go to a decision, I'm going to say Tank wins probably like 8 rounds to 4, you know, pretty lackluster, you know, making it look easy. But I just don't want people to sleep on Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia is a guy, is a name. He used to train for Canelo's camp. So the guy does know how to box. But his only weapon is a left hook. And when all you got is one weapon in boxing, basically your opponent knows you have one weapon, and they're going to neutralize that weapon to their advantage. And I just see Tank dominating. And if Ryan can make it to a decision, that's a win within itself. But I see Tank probably catching him maybe round 7, maybe round 8. But this goes to show you that if guys really want to fight each other, fights can be made. And Ryan and Tank have been talking about fighting since probably the middle of last year. Both of them fought a tune-up fight, and both of them got the fight done. So boxing, there are no excuses when it comes to making big fights. If these two guys can make fights happen, everybody else should be able to make fights happen. So, yeah, man, that's my take on it, bro. I know you're a Tank fan. I'm quite sure that you probably got Tank winning by knockout, but the rest of the undercard is kind of weak. I mean, they do have like a co-main event for another belt. But boxing, one thing you guys should take from the UFC, make your undercard watchable. Give us at least 2 or 3 fights on the undercard that make us want to tune in prior to the main event. That's just a little hint from your boys, Lee and Keys. Put some other quality fights on the undercard. Thank you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, Tank by knockout, he seems to knock dudes out. Like I said, I'm a boxing novice, you know, I don't know the game, but I watched a few of his fights, and, you know, he definitely put dudes lights out. And the thing that I always thought about Ryan Garcia, he just seems so small to me, you know what I mean? I don't know. I've never seen him fight, so I'm not going to say, like, he's not good enough or he can't beat Tank. Like, I don't know enough to say whether he can or can't or who's going to do what, but he just always seems like he's just a little bit, like, too skinny, you know what I mean? He seems kind of frail a little bit, and I just, like, not to knock him. That might even help him with, you know, his technique. Maybe that's a part of why he has that speed that he has, but I don't know. I just feel like Tank is just, he comes with a lot of power, man. I just think a kid like that, I don't know. I just cracking him, you know, for sure, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not going to make an official prediction, man. You the boxing guy, man. We're gonna go with your prediction. We're going to go with Tank winning 8 rounds to 4 in the decision, bro. And you said, you know, making it look easy. We're going to go with your decision, which is up on the page. So if and when it does happen, we're going to be able to pull it back up and be like, yo, he predicted this exactly. So that's another plus in having those. You get the sound bites, and y'all can see. Instead of me saying, oh, you know, we always predict the fights, or we said that would happen, or, oh, no, we did say, and it's right there. So it's not only is it in the audio playback, but it's right there on our Twitter. We can pull up that file and say, look, this was a quote from that show. We literally said that word for word, you know, verbatim. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man.
But I also said that if Tank knocks him out, it'll be round 7 or round 8. But, hey, Keys, I know you normally don't watch boxing, but I would say watch this fight this weekend between Tank and Garcia, and then May 20th, you have to watch Devin Haney versus Lomachenko. I think Devin Haney versus Lomachenko has the chance to be the fight of the year. Those two guys are action-packed. Devin Haney with his hand speed and Lomachenko with his relentless style. But we ain't there yet. So You know, man, great, great show tonight, man. We covered a lot, man. We covered UFC, bare knuckle, boxing. We didn't get to Jake Paul and Nate Diaz, but we'll get to that probably somewhere down the road. I mean, personally, I don't like that fight, but it is what it is. Any last words, bro?
Nah, I don't have anything. As far as the Lomachenko and Devin Haney, that was one that I did watch, was Devin Haney and Kambosos 2. I did watch that because I want to say, I want to say it was on ESPN Plus. Like, you could watch it. You didn't have to.
Yes, it was on ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I think it was just on, and I didn't know that, but, like, I just was checking just to see, like, not really expecting it that night, and I saw it, and I ended up watching the fight, and I could get it with Devin Haney. I don't have, like, I can't tell you exactly what it is about him, but I could see it, you know, and he's pretty young, too. He's pretty young, too, right? So that's pretty crazy that, you know, these dudes are all coming up at the same time, and they could all possibly fight each other, so... All four of those guys, you know, I'm quite sure are close in weight. They could all fight. You know, that could be a mixed match for the next couple of years. You could get all those fights. So, yeah, that's one that I'm going to be checking for. You know, one of my boys is saying Loma, you know, all day, you know, is saying he's like one of the best boxers probably ever. That's what one of my boys was saying. And it's yeah, that's one that I'm going to be checking for. I'm going to definitely, and then the Tank one, I'm going to be watching that too. So that's going to be something I'm you know, very likely going to be watching the Tank and Garcia, and then I'm going to be checking for the, maybe they'll put the Devin Haney and Lomachenko on ESPN Plus too. That would be kind of nice, you know, not have to, you know, pay for every single one. I wish the UFC would do some stuff like that. You know, they do put the fight nights there, but I wish, you know, maybe we could get a free pay per view once in a while. Or if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, you can get the pay-per-view like half off or something. I think that would be cool instead of us having to pay, you know, $80 for it now. If ESPN Plus subscriptions could pay $40 for it, that would honestly, that'd be pretty dope. You know what I mean? I would appreciate that if they could do something like that, you know, for to give you, you know, that for being a, especially if you just keep your subscription year-round, you're paying it every month, so. That'd be nice. But, hey, in a perfect world. Either way, I don't have any last thoughts. I know we got through a lot of stuff. This is a great show. I appreciate you rocking with me. I love chopping it up with you every time. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you all for listening. And hit us up on Twitter. Give us your thoughts. And then that's really it, man. My last thing, actually, I will say, I actually got kind of choked up when I just thought about it. And I have this up on my Twitter now. I took off all my bio and, you know, I took everything off and I just put this quote. And it's simple, but I just thought of it. You know, Lee has, you know, his sayings that he's come up with. They're good sayings that he put up at the end. This is one I want to say is, life is short. Love each other. And that's it.
That's right, bro. Life is short. I think last year I said, you only get one. Ride that mug till the wheels fall off, and you can get the wheels repaired. Ride that mug some more. But, you know, man, it was always good to chop it up, my man Keys. It's funny how relationships start and form. Me and Keys' relationship start and formed on Twitter. You know, we was going back and forth at it, and, you know, it was fun. And then, you know, we picked up the phone one day and we was like, hey, bro, let's do a podcast. And this is where we at, man. We at episode 297. We three episodes from 300. And we still going strong. We giving y'all this combat sports talk, trying to do it every week. In the summertime is a little hard because, you know, we go on vacation. We doing stuff in the summertime. But, you know, me and Keys have made a concerted effort to try to be up here weekly. And if not weekly, every other week. So next week I'll be in Denver, going to see my grandbaby, lay eyes on her for the first time. But if my man Keys want to jump on, I'm going to make time to do that because this show is very important to us. We love talking to y'all, and we love talking combat sports. But we're going to go ahead and end the show tonight with a, hey, take care of you, take care of yourself, and take care of your mental health. I have learned that mental health is a very important thing. Something came out last week on Twitter, and my man Keys actually commented on it, and it made me think. One person got on Twitter and said that they were going through a tough time because one of their friends had committed suicide, and they wanted to come on Twitter just to, you know, probably get some support. And somebody commented, why would you come to Twitter for with strangers for some support? Because sometimes people are on Twitter that have been through the same situation that you've been through, and they can offer kind words and support that you probably can't get within your inner circle or people that you know because they haven't been through it. So I like to applaud my man Keys for, you know, stepping up on that. And it, you know, it made me think, man, about mental health and, you know, not to take it for granted. And I know this is a long outro. I really didn't have this plan, but sometimes things just come to my head and I feel like I need to say. Yo, Evan, me and Key's always here, bro. If you need us, hey, to everybody out there, take care of you, take care of yourself, take care of your mental health. As always, Lee and Keys, always in the show with Peace.